The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you seeking the right transformational path to your destiny? Welcome to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with your host, Dr. Yomi Garnett. You can find growth, personal strength, and discovery no matter where you are in life right now. Truly enlightened people follow a regimented course, and you can too. Starting now, here is Dr. Yomi Garnett.
Hello there. Welcome to today's episode of Dream the Life, Live the Dream. And today is a rather unique outing because we veer off our usual avenue of empowerment issues onto something that is closer to home for me, and that is health. Today's episode, which is titled A New Approach to Health, is going to be anchored by two sound professionals in the alternative health industry, and they are Robert Wegmer and Joan Ross. Robert and Joan are senior master trainers in mental health and directors of the Mental Health Academy in the UK. They are leading innovators in the field of mental health and mind-body approaches to personal development and are passionate about sharing their knowledge and understanding. From Robert's background in engineering and business systems and Joan's in teaching, they began life coaching in 2004. They combined coaching with neuro-linguistic programming and emotional freedom techniques and were among the first to engage with mental health back in 2005. Now, over the last 9 years, they have become leading developers in mental health and have co-developed metakinetics, an advanced system of kinesiology. Based in the UK, Robert and Joan run regular training programs, provide individual coaching, and have published numerous articles on mind, body health, and personal development. Their unique approach synthesizes mental health with life and wellness coaching, neuro-linguistic programming, and emotional freedom techniques, access consciousness, developmental behavior modeling, and other advanced systems. They are enthusiastic and inspiring trainers with a deep knowledge and understanding of mental health. Robert Wegmer, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you, Yomi.
Joan Ross, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, the both of you, I'll just crave your kind indulgence to give an insight to the listeners about what today's show is all about. Now, this unique show will introduce you to a state-of-the-art system of health awareness. It provides a comprehensive mind-body social understanding of illness and healing, integrating ancient wisdom with the latest research into neuroscience, epigenetics, and systems theory. Symptoms are not a mistake, but rather a meaningful response to our life situations, thoughts, and feelings. You'll find out how to spot the two-phase process behind all health issues and tune into your natural rhythm. If you're a practitioner, mental health will give you a framework for getting to the root cause of client issues. It is utilized worldwide by professionals in the fields of complementary and alternative medicine, modern medicine, psychology, and personal development. Now, if you're on a healing or personal development journey, it will provide you with a new level of empowerment and inspiration in your own potential for healing and transformation. Join me in welcoming Robert Wegmer and Joan Ross of the Mental Health Academy in the United Kingdom. Welcome, the both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yomi. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm pleased to have you with me also. Now, we're going to start with Joanne. Joanne, what's the focus? What's the focus of what we'll be talking about today?
Okay, so today what we'd really like to give listeners is an overview or an introduction to the breadth and depth of mental health, how this is a new field, and how this comprehensive system can be used by health professionals and individuals from all kinds of backgrounds to really understand exactly why we get ill. Because health is something that a lot of people have a lot of fear around, and mental health tells us exactly the reasons, the specific mind-body social reasons for any kind of symptoms, and it really helps us to take away that fear of health. So rather than seeing symptoms as meaningless or mistakes, we're here to help uncover really how symptoms are highly meaningful and how they're reactions to situations that happen in our life.
Thank you. Now, over to you now, Robert. Robert, what exactly do you do?
Well, myself and Joanne, we train people in the basics of mental health, but also into the practitioner and master practitioner levels, which really is taking them into how to actually get to the bottom or the root cause of mental, emotional, behavioral, and physiological health issues. And we train a number of different practitioners, people from a medical background, including doctors, consultants, so people with specialist understanding. We train many psychotherapists, also people from the complementary and alternative medicine background, people who would be classified as energy or workers or spiritual healers, and people really who are interested in their own personal healing and personal development and transformational journey.
Thank you. Now, I'd like to ask you a question specifically. To what degree have you had acceptance from the general public and then from, say, governmental agencies?
Well, we haven't really tried to push mental health so far with the government, although I think there's an increasing interest from more official bodies, and we have trained a number of NHS staff and professionals, and I think that the philosophy or the paradigm behind mental health is quite controversial in some ways, because we're saying that the body's never making a mistake. But obviously when people get symptoms, they don't feel very well. So coming from slightly different points of view, amongst the general public and amongst medical professionals who are open, who have been maybe researching for some time, who want a deeper understanding of causation and want to go beyond treating symptoms, they're very open to it. And amongst complementary alternative medical practitioners and people in personal development who want to go deeper into personal development and really understand the connection between thoughts, feelings, behavior, and physiology, we get a lot of interest there too. So we get a really, one of the interesting things about mental health trainings is that you'll get people from a clinical background on one extreme and a spiritual healer or energy worker on the other extreme, all in the same training. And I think that's something that's wonderful and unique about mental health trainings. There's a very healthy respect that develops for each other's unique approaches, and also an understanding of the relevancy and the validity of those different systems of approach for different times, for different people at different stages in their life and with different health issues.
Thank you. That's quite illuminating. Now, Joanne, what is your background and how did you get into mental health?
Okay, well, the good news perhaps for me is that I have not medically trained. So when I first got into this, it all seemed a little bit scary because it's very biologically based. And a lot of the original research behind mental health actually comes from modern medicine. So on the one hand, I was a little bit fearful of getting into this because it sounded very medical. But on the other hand, I'd always had a lifelong interest in human beings, in behavior. I'd studied history originally, then moved into teaching. So I always really wanted to find out what makes people tick and why do people behave in different ways. So when I came across mental health, which was through Robert, and he said, actually, this is much more about the emotions and the thought patterns that we have and an explanation of why we get ill, I thought, well, this is really interesting. So while I hadn't got the medical background to understand the terminology, on the positive side of that, I hadn't got the medical model in my mind, which is really that when health issues occur, the body's making a mistake. I didn't have that background. So for me, coming into mental health and realizing that there's a reason behind symptoms really made a huge amount of sense to me and really resonated at quite a deep level. So from there, I really got into this, started life coaching people, started working with therapy, and became a trainer in mental health, left teaching way behind.
Thank you, Joan. Robert, over to you now. What is your background and how did you get into mental health?
My background was actually, I graduated in 1995 as a manufacturing systems engineer and business consultant. So that was my original degree. And working in industry over a number of years, I began to see that a lot of the problems in terms of organizations and particularly manufacturing industry were all to do with information and communication. And so I became particularly interested in what you call processes and systems. And I ended up being lucky enough to be sponsored by an organization to go back to university and do a master's qualification in information systems research consultancy, which really takes research to a different level. And this really took me into the subjective nature of inquiry and a different kind of science where you really go into a situation where you don't have much understanding and have to learn very quickly to develop a methodology about how to learn about how to solve problems while affecting and creating solutions at the same time. So this took me to a whole different field of understanding, was really about learning and learning how to solve complex problems in dynamic situations. So that was my background. So while I was doing that training, I became very aware that many of the issues in organization were cultural and were preventing organizations moving forward and changing because of people's belief systems about what could and couldn't be done. And that obviously brought me into the field of psychology and became interested in the human change, and that became far more fascinating to me than looking at technology. And that really became the background for me to eventually start to train in life coaching, because life coaching is really where you're dealing with people's limiting beliefs about who they are and what they can achieve in life. And so that really became the background for me to move towards mental health as a system. The other thing was that I had a number of health issues throughout my from two years of age to, you know, really until quite recently. I had significant health issues with kidney disease, asthma, digestive symptoms, and I'd never really had a useful approach to try and solve these health issues of my own. So part of the reason for me to start to go deeper into personal development and to look at health in a broader and deeper way was to solve my own health issues, which many of which I've now resolved.
Well, now, wait a minute here, Robert. Now, this is very interesting, because what you are saying here is that you have used yourself as a personal reference point as a way of vindicating the efficacy of mental health. Is that not true?
That is correct, yes. You could say that I'm my own guinea pig.
Yeah, your own experimental guinea pig. And to what degree have you, as an experimental guinea pig for mental health, succeeded in validating to yourself the efficacy of mental health?
In terms of my scientific background and understanding, and in terms of the resolution of my own health issues, I'm 100% committed to mental health as a scientific framework to helping people resolve health issues. I think it's extremely accurate, and it's beyond anything else I've ever looked at. And I happen to have a background in medicine as well, because my family, although I'm not trained medically, all my family are medical, so I was brought up with medicine in the house. So I had you pick up a lot of information and understanding about, you know, different systems from the people around you. So all my family are medical. I've got a lot of consultants and family, so I have some very interesting conversations over the last few years with them.
Okay, thank you very much. Joan and Robert, you'll join me in doing something unique I usually do on this program, and that is celebrating excellence in authorship of books. And this particular moment, I'd like to celebrate an author from the United States called Peter Kroc. He is editor of the Schuylkill Valley Journal since 2001 and serves as the humanities stroke poetry director of the Manner Young Art Center in Philadelphia, where he has coordinated a literary series since 1990. His poems have appeared in numerous journals. In 2005, his poem 10 p.m. at a Philadelphia Recreation Center was included in Commonwealth Contemporary Poets on Pennsylvania. And his book, Looking for an Eye, was published in 2008. His Kent State poem, The Misfit Generation, represented a passion of anger and anxiety of an era now gone. The Misfits Generation was the only poem chosen for the 10th anniversary of the Philadelphia drummer. As for his writing process, he says he is reminded about what his father said about his painting of the house. His father said, "You do a good job, but I wouldn't want to pay you by the hour." He sees himself balancing the demands of writing and life is more important. Well, in terms of what writers influenced him, Rilke was the first influence with his poems about the world around us, The Lonely Child, The Swan, The Merry-Go-Round, Falling Leaves, Seasons, and Sadness. Rilke got into feelings and moods and scenes. One of the poems in Peter's book is Lost. Yeats was his next major influence. Yeats came to grips with the age. The poets he feels closest to at this time are Mary Oliver, Jane Cannon, and Stanley Kunitz. Writing is an outlet for his creative calories. By pursuing writing, he constantly challenges himself. The writing process gives added meaning and richness to life, he says. And he has been called the Red Brick Poet because of his connection to red brick row houses in Philadelphia. The themes present in his work are aloneness, the joy, memories of love, images of the city, and spiritual quest to know the self. That is Peter Kroc for you. We are celebrating him, this great poet, today. And for now and for future generations, these are one of the poets to look up to. We'll just take a small break here and we'll be back.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today. What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome to the second segment of today's show. And don't forget, for those of you who are just joining us, we have with us two very special and remarkable people, Robert Wagmeier and Joan Rawls in the United Kingdom, senior master trainers in mental health and directors of the Meta Health Academy. Welcome back, Robert and Joan.
Thank you, Amy.
Now, I am very fascinated about something, and I'm sure our listeners will be equally fascinated, and that is the fact that Robert was indeed an experimental guinea pig for convincing himself about the efficacy of mental health. Robert obviously had, from childhood, certain crucial health challenges, and obviously through mental health, he was able to surmount them. Tell us about it, Robert.
Well, yes. I mean, from the age of 2 to 18, I had a disease called nephrotic syndrome, which had never really... I never had a sufficient explanation of the reason why I had the disease. I mean, there's a lot of explanation medically about what it is and how it operates, and I knew very well from a symptom point of view of the experience of the symptoms on a physical level. What I didn't understand was the connection psychologically, emotionally, and behaviorally. And it took many years later until I got into mental health for me to actually really fully understand that and be convinced that I'd resolved it. Now, I was told at age 11 that the possibility was that I was going to die from that illness. And that left me with a lot of fear, and my parents also. And you could say at the back of my mind, it left an open question about, you know, was this something that was going to come back and cause me a problem in later life? You know, what were the ramifications for this? So I was always very nervous, even after my symptoms abated around age 18, that the possibility that this disease could come back and cause me a problem in later life. So at the back of my mind, while I was working and having the pressures of work, I was still always looking for something that might be able to explain in much more detail and depth and give me a reason and an understanding of how I could solve it properly. So when I came to mental health, my first experience on an introductory weekend, was to have some diagnosis of the issue. And I remember the trainer saying to me, this is an isolation abandonment issue. And I literally started shivering. I was just like, whoa, wow, that language triggered me. It was just so powerful. And immediately I began to recall having experiences as a child where I definitely feared being isolated and abandoned by my parents. You know, if they go out on an evening out to go to see friends and left me with a babysitter, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night. I would stay awake until they got back. I was petrified they were never going to return. And I remember even, you know, feeling also isolated from friends at school. I felt like I was never really part of the group. But I never really understood why I had those feelings, and I certainly didn't understand it was connected with my kidney issue. Now, what mental health did was actually explain to me that the disease process itself is based on an abandonment, isolation, conflict shock. And although I didn't actually have a memory of anything around that, and I couldn't actually piece it together in my own mind, it definitely felt real, and I definitely resonated with the language of isolation and abandonment, and that was being my experience of feeling that way, feeling the isolation or the fear of isolation. So I asked my parents, you know, when I came off the training, I was like, was there any reason at 2 years of age for me to have felt isolated or abandoned? Now, initially, my mother was like, no, you know, you were looked after, you were cared for, you know, we really took care of you. And that was my memory of my parents. They were very loving people. I didn't have any actual conscious reason or psychological, you know, rational reason to feel that way. But we're not dealing with the conscious mind when we're dealing with mental health issues. We're dealing with unconscious, archaic, evolutionary biological programs that don't make sense rationally. So after a few weeks, my mother came back to me and she said, actually, Robert, you know that mental health thingy-majig you've been talking about? Is there a possibility that ever being lost could have anything to do with it? And I said, well, that's interesting. Just could you tell me more? Well, she goes, just before you were first diagnosed with this illness, there was an incident where we'd taken you to Edinburgh. Now, Edinburgh was quite a long way from my family home in the Midlands. And there was a miscommunication between my parents and my grandmother about who was looking after me. They all went in different directions, and they lost me for an hour and a half. Now, to an adult, that doesn't seem very significant. To a two-year-old, when your survival is based on your parents, it can be very significant. And I experienced a conflict experience, and they told me that when they found me, I was red from head to toe, I was screaming my head off, and apparently I didn't calm down for a couple of days. Now, I believe that was the beginning of the disease process, and therefore any situation where I felt that I was going to be left or isolated by my parents, that began to trigger the whole mechanism. So that was the beginning of the disease. That's what we call the biological conflict shock. And I think many, many different organ systems were involved with that. And having gone back and recovered that memory and released a lot of the work, I know there were some digestive issues around it. I see my brain CT scan around it. So you can see the lesions in my brain that have been left behind in the what you call the homunculus, the organ map, which is, you know, in MetaHealth is exclusive information which we have, which demonstrates a very specific organ brain and psychological connection. So I've done the science on myself and seen MetaHealth to be 100% accurate. And I think in some ways, you know, in some ways it's still affecting me. And I'm still overcoming it, although I don't get physiological symptoms anymore. There are more minor symptoms in other areas. So the disease process itself, in terms of what it used to do to me, is I used to swallow with water. And now, from a conventional clinical point of view, this doesn't have any meaning. But if we think about isolation, abandonment, from an evolutionary point of view, if the body feels that it is isolated, abandoned by the tribe, it literally doesn't know when it's going to get its next drop of water. So the body retains fluid. And it's doing this functionally and in a meaningful way. It's not a mistake. So if you feel deeply isolated and abandoned, and it's a threat to the survival, then it makes sense for the body to hold on to water. And that's exactly what used to happen to me.
Well, Robert, as a medical doctor myself, I do not find it too difficult to have a comprehension of what you are saying. And for me, this is an eye-opener because I find myself being able to relate my conventional medical training with a new concept that I can see in MetaHealth. I intend to study this a little bit much further. Now, Joanne, let's talk a bit about MetaHealth. Why do we need a new approach to health? Why do we need a new approach?
Okay, so what we see at the moment, I think, is that healthcare is really struggling because there's so many people with so many conditions and everybody's really looking for answers to why have they got these health conditions. So we've got modern medicine, and certainly in the UK, the National Health Service is struggling with so many chronic conditions and so many people. And we've also got many complementary therapists, alternative therapists out there, but people don't really know who to turn to because what they haven't got is this understanding of what the cause is. And I think what MetaHealth really provides is the platform of understanding, because once we know what the cause of our health issue is, like with Rob, his issue was the feeling of being abandoned or isolated. Once you know that, then you're no longer searching for all these answers, and you can apply the therapies that really feel right to that particular issue. So for me, it's something that can be learned by practitioners from all kinds of backgrounds in order to really take their level of understanding to this higher level, this mind-body-social understanding, what's going on in the mind, what's going on at the emotional level, and how that affects our body. I think that's really taking medicine, taking personal development to a totally new level.
Thank you. Robert?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
How does MetaHealth goes beyond current approaches to health?
Well, so what it really does is it allows practitioners such as yourself, Yomi, such as doctors, medical practitioners, complementary medical practitioners, even people within personal development and even spiritual development, it provides all of us with a framework to actually go beyond any specific approach, but allows us to use all of them. So if you're a medical practitioner, you're going to get better results if you're using MetaHealth because you actually understand the actual processing of a disease, why the body's doing what it's doing, and therefore when is the best timing to make an intervention. So having this understanding based on the research of the organ, mind, brain, body connection, it enables people to make better decisions about which therapeutic options to choose. But it also, this is, I think, the most important point, it gives the clients, it empowers the clients to take responsibility for their own health issue from within and create the change that they need to. I think from my point of view, that's one of the most important things, is that one of the difficulties, I think, that all health professionals like yourself and people with the complementary field have is that the responsibility is often seen as theirs. So it's like, it's particularly in the UK, you know, doctors take responsibility for people's health issues. But the reality is that that can't be, because the doctor hasn't created that issue in the first place. The client has. Now, while it isn't the client's fault consciously, because it's nobody's fault, it's an evolutionary mechanism, it certainly is the client's responsibility to resolve it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yes.
Joan?
Yeah.
How does MetaHealth integrate health and personal development? Now, this is a core thing, because one of the core issues in the lives of people is self and spiritual development. And let's face it, the comprehensive scope of what we are discussing is basically mind, body, spirit. So how does MetaHealth integrate health and personal development?
Okay, so MetaHealth works at all levels. So we look back from the symptom, which is obviously on a body level, and because we've got a map to how that links to behavior and how that links to the mind and the emotions, we can integrate all of that, and that then leads us into spirituality. So, for example, if we talk about the skin, the outer skin, the epidermis, this is the area of the body where we get eczema and we get rashes. So from a mental health point of view, anybody that's suffering from an issue like eczema, we know that the outer skin is all about connecting to people in our environment. So we either feel that we want more connection, or we feel that we're too connected and we want to disconnect and have some personal space. So we know from a physiological point of view that the skin is our way of connecting and sensing what's going on with the environment. So that's on the body level. On a mind level, we can talk to somebody and we can find out the thoughts behind that are all about, I want to connect with my friends or my family and I feel that I can't do that. On an emotional level, we feel separated or disconnected. So that creates a stress in that person's life. So we can look at the connection between the physical symptom and the mental and emotional stresses. Now, bringing in spirituality and personal development, what that tells us is for that person to really become much more themselves, much more aligned with their true self, what they need to release is this attachment to other people and the feeling of being happy on their own or happy in company. So from a spiritual development perspective, something like a skin issue is about really connecting with oneself and not being so bothered about what's going on within the environment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. For me, you've elucidated it perfectly, because at the end of the day, it's very important that we highlight the interconnectedness between the mind-body-spirit connection and just to what degree and to what extent MetaHealth addresses it. Robert and Joan, once more you'll join me in celebrating another author. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
This program is about celebrating excellence. Did I tell you that this program is predicated on a platform that is called the Global Institute for Human Excellence, of which I'm president and chief executive officer?
Wonderful.
That's right. And so this institute celebrates excellence in all its ramifications wherever we can identify it. Now we will talk about another poet named Nancy LaRonda Johnson. Nancy LaRonda Johnson has written short stories, poetry, and personal journals for most of her life. She received her first writing award in elementary school for a psychological thriller short story. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology and also a law degree. She's a probation officer by day and strives during her off hours to write interesting characters who make it through trying times. Now, what thrills Nancy most is writing books and stories that give eye-opening takes on controversial topics and that also show the growth and transformation of people. To do this, Nancy uses her experience as a probation officer, her own life and her faith, creating characters that are harrowing and yet real, and who go through experiences to which many people can relate. Her first book, the literary Christian speculative novel, Anticipation of the Penitent, reached the finals in the San Francisco Writers Conference in 2012 Indie Publishing Contest. Anticipation of the Penitent is about a serial killer and his mother who reaches out to God seeking salvation for her son who was sired by Satan. It is a book that about redemption, about how God's love can transform even the darkest of lives. What one reader said about Anticipation of the Penitent is that it has hair-raising twists and turns and unforgettable characters throughout. Others have said it will take you on a roller coaster ride of emotions, and I definitely count myself blessed to have read this book. Nancy's second publication, Salted with Fire, is a book of short stories and poetry that shows her growth as a writer from worldly to wanting to please God. Now, after each story is a short biblical discussion. The discussions are about how the Bible translates in today's life as depicted through the short stories, even if the stories themselves are not religious in nature. Now, here's what some readers have said about Salted with Fire, Creative and Spiritual Power. Of author Nancy LaRonda Johnson makes this book unique, and Salted with Fire is definitely a book you'll find yourself going back to. You may get a copy of both Nancy's works from Amazon.com. Nancy is working on several projects, including a continuing story to Anticipation of the Penitent called Anticipating Dawn. Anticipating Dawn speaks of a relative of the serial killer who seeks to bring peace to the victims' families, and his best friend, a gay Christian, who leaves home to find acceptance. Anticipating Dawn is expected to be released by late August 2014. To find out more about Nancy LaRonda Johnson and her works, visit our website at www.nancylarondajohnson.com, which also has her blog. Traversing the Boundaries of Imagination, Nancy LaRonda Johnson, Anticipation of the Penitent and Salted with Fire on Amazon.com and Smashwords.com. Thank you for your patience. Now we've celebrated excellence. And I just want to ask Joanne a very quick question. Joanne, you've been talking about one of the core principles behind mental health, that all symptoms are not a mystic or an error of nature, but rather meaningful reactions. Can you explain why symptoms begin at all, Joanne?
Yeah, sure. So from a meta point of view, with the exception of poisoning, accidents and malnutrition, we can trace all health issues or all symptoms back to significant emotional events. So this is significant events in our life where we've had an emotional shock and we've gone into what we call a fight or flight reaction. So something where we don't know what to do, we don't know how to react, what will happen is that the body will start reacting based on that specific emotion. So like with the example of eczema we talked about earlier, if a child suddenly finds themselves on their own and away from their parents or carers, they might get a big shock about that experience, or a little bit like Rob, when Rob was left or lost by his parents, gets a big shock, and then what happens is the body compensates for that shock by creating a specific symptom. So in the case of the skin with the eczema, actually you wouldn't get the eczema straight away. In that shock phase, what you'd experience is a paling of the skin, a cooling of the skin, and a desensitization so that you can't feel that feeling of separation. It's okay, only Joy, later.
Joy, I apologize. I have to interrupt you here. We'll just have a very quick break and then we'll get back to your teams. All right. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute, Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today.
Think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back. Now, John Ross was talking to us about the core principles behind mental health, and that all symptoms are not a mistake or an error of nature, but rather meaningful reactions. Now, I know she still has a few things to say about it. Go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, sure. So what happens when we've had this shocking life experience is we go into the first phase of illness, which is called the stress phase. And I think listeners will be probably quite familiar with this, because the signs and symptoms of the stress phase are obsessive thinking, a loss of appetite, sleeplessness, cold hands and feet, and having lots of nervous energy. So while we've had this negative experience, then we stay in that state until we find a way of resolving it. So we were talking just before the break about eczema and saying that if a child is separated from their parents or carers, they may well go into this state because they feel very vulnerable and they feel separated and disconnected. Now, when they feel connected again, so somebody comes and cares for them like their parents come back, then the body can go into what we call the parasympathetic regeneration phase. This is the second phase, and this is where we get most of the physical symptoms that have been labeled as illness. So from a meta-medicine point of view, rather than the symptoms being a mistake, actually what we're saying is that the symptoms are meaningful reactions, and they come once we start to resolve the stressful life experiences. So in the case of an eczema, once the parents came back, the child might find that suddenly the skin starts to regrow, it starts to resensitize, it gets very red, inflamed, and itchy. And rather than seeing that those symptoms as the problem, from a mental health point of view, we would be saying, this is great, what have you resolved, and what are you feeling better about, and what were you stressed about before? So it's a very different way of thinking about health.
Thank you very much. Now, Robert, can you tell us more about the two phases and meaningful process behind health issues?
Yeah, sure. So the two phases really is like a universal principle for understanding balance. So stress and regeneration, and it links really going back to the understanding about sort of expansion and contraction. So breathing in and breathing out, day and night rhythms, the ebb and flow of the sea on the seashore, universal expansion and contraction. It links to many, many different concepts which can be applied universally, and is taking place within us at all times. In terms of the stress phase, if we relate it to health issues, this is where we go into a problem-solving mode mentally, where we're trying to resolve what was seen as the problem. Now, if I relate that to my kidney issue to make it meaningful, what would happen was I would start to obsess about the feeling of isolation and why was I left, and there's an anger around it because it felt like my survival was threatened. At the same time, while mentally I was stressing, there's a closure in the kidney collecting tubules, and that's created by some inflammation in there. And what that does is to retain fluid, and to retain the fluid is actually to make ourselves feel we're more able to survive that feeling of isolation. Now, this is also common for people in sort of where there's areas of drought or desert, and there's people where they don't know where they're going to get their next drop of water from. They'll actually often be running this kind of disease program, and it has been labeled refugee syndrome also. So we stay in the stress phase until either something happens environmentally to show us that we don't need to worry anymore, either the parents come along or we get to the water source and the plentiful supply is available, and then we can let go. So we let go mentally of obsessing about it, and then the organ starts to change. And in terms of my disease process, what would happen is then the kidney tubules would open back up again, and I'd begin to urinate normally, whereas before I'd be holding on to water. So this is linked in medicine. We very much understand the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system, and the stress and regeneration is according to sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system signals. So the purpose of the first phase is really to survive the stressful situation and try and find a solution, and then regain balance. And then the symptoms that we've labeled as disease are actually often a very meaningful part of the rebalancing process. And this applies to, you know, all symptoms that we get. Like even if someone goes weight training in a gym, they're creating stress when they go and push the weights, and they feel the feeling as I can't push these weights because if they're, you know, too heavy, they're trying to get their muscles to build, they have to overstress the muscle. And then when they go away, there's a regeneration and the muscles rebuild if they have the correct adequate diet. So you can see this, and you can apply this to many, many areas of life and society and culture as well.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Absolutely. The correlation is really quite clear. Very, very clear. Now, Joanne, how can mental health be used with clients?
Okay, so the first step really to mental health is finding out the emotional and the mental pattern and the significant life events behind the client's specific symptom. So if we take something like a musculoskeletal issue, which is very common, then we'd find out from the client where in the body is that musculoskeletal issue. So is it a pain in the knee? Is it a pain in the back? Is it pain in the neck? And we would look at the specific emotions. So, for example, a pain in the knee is often to do with feeling unable to move forward in life in some way. So we would talk to that client and explore where is it that they feel held back or constrained and unable to move forwards. If it was a pain in the back, if it's the cervical spine, so the neck spine, we'll be looking at where does that client feel there's some injustice, or where do they feel intellectually inferior, and what does that track back to? If it's the lower back, we'd be looking at where does the client feel unsupported, or where do they feel they have to support everybody else in life? So we'd have that exploration and that awareness of what were the significant life events, what are the beliefs underneath it? So it often with musculoskeletal goes back to a lack of self-worth, what we call a self-devaluation, and then we would start to apply therapies based on that particular symptom pattern. And therapeutically, we can work on the body level, and that would be things like massage and nutrition. We can work on the mind level, which is where things like emotional freedom techniques comes in, which is all about releasing that the emotions attached to the issue and changing the beliefs. And then the spiritual level, really, I feel the spiritual level comes in, because as we release these issues, the client becomes more aligned with their true self.
Thank you so much. Although there were one or two things I'd like to discuss before this, but we may not have too much time, and I think we have to start planning towards the final moments of this interview. Now, you have this big conference coming up in Solihull near Birmingham in the United Kingdom in September. Joan, tell our listeners about this, because I want all our listeners to go for this conference.
Excellent. Okay, well, we're really excited. We're hosting the 6th International MetaHealth Conference. So previous conferences have been held in Germany, Estonia, Denmark and Egypt. So it's the very first time that the conference is coming to the UK. And it's MetaHealth trainers and experts from all across the world, from as far away as New Zealand, America, all across Europe, coming to the UK, to Solihull, to really share their different areas of expertise in MetaHealth and for all the practitioners to come together and share in this knowledge. So we're very much looking forward to that.
Now, this conference is holding in the West Midlands, in Birmingham, is it?
It is.
It is near Birmingham, yes, that's right. It's a town just south of Birmingham called Solihull, which is in the corridor between Birmingham and the beautiful Warwickshire countryside, which is near Stratford and Watford. Yeah.
That's the beautiful West Midlands of England. I love it. Now, we'll just take a little break and celebrate somebody actually who lives in the UK. Her name is Grace T. McCombie. She lives in Milton Keynes in Bletchley in England. Grace T. is an apostle of the philosophy of weapons of mass enlightenment. She's a mother of three boys, and she is author and founder of the Mighty Pen Literature, a writing and editing firm. Grace has a dream that one day education will be the only way to unshackle the chains of oppression, poverty, and constant wars in third world countries. She says women and children have seen enough of never-ending poverty and a heritage and legacy of sadness. Now it's time to use non-conflict resolution methods and dialogue. Women and children suffer from causes not of their making. And she believes that giving an ignorant person or group a gun is a heinous criminal act which is tantamount to genocide. Her Mighty Pen books support this worthy cause to change one child one day at a time. The target is to give communities and out-of-reach areas basic educational materials and help locals to teach and update their media applications. The Mighty Pen Literature's strategy is to write books and sell them, and the proceeds will then be used to buy educational materials. She's working with other authors to sign into the program so as to cover different genres. Grace T. McCombie has written Pursuit of the Good Life, which is a heart and mind saga. It's a story of an unassuming young man, Isau, from Cushing, Africa, who is thrust into the 21st century stampede to the promised lands. A crisis that gives the young man an opportunity to break the global glass ceiling and trace his history back to Babel. It's a heart-wrenching search for the good life that turns Esau from a young man to an African visionary. Her second book is Memories of Tender Love and Care, which is a story of an African princess, Coco, a university graduate who could only find work as a healthcare worker in England. The story is a clash of civilizations banged with fun, laughter, and life lessons. A current affairs healthcare panorama as Coco meets the elderly and gets a rude awakening. The books are available on Kobo, Apple, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon.com and other applications. Her next book, Undercover President, will be out soon. Her links on the internet, www.themightypenliterature and www.we.foundation. And you can send her an email at gracewenead@gmail.com. gracewenead@gmail.com. Robert and Joan, it's been a pleasure having you with me today. And we'll just close in the next 30 seconds with a few closing remarks from you, Robert. Where is MetaHealth heading? What is the future for healthcare and self-development?
Well, I think the future is extremely bright and a transcendent field. But if people would like to find out more, please look at the website, the www.metahealthconference.org.
Excellent. And I
think that, you know, the conference is really going to be a wonderful experience for anyone who comes and will launch them into this new integrative field of health and personal development.
Thank you very much. Please, can we have that again, please? The website of the conference?
Website is www.meta.health.
That's right.
And conference.org.
Excellent. Well,
and there's also a Facebook page, which is with the same reference, facebook.com, Meta Health Conference 2014.
Okay, splendid. Well, Robert, Joanne, it's been a most illuminating episode. Thank you very much. Even though I'm a medical doctor, I've had a beautiful, illuminating, and fascinating eye-opening experience with you today. It's not an experience I'll forget in a hurry because I intend to go and do a little bit of research myself into mental health. And I'll see you in Birmingham, Solihull, Birmingham, in September. I'll be there with you. And until then, I wish you a very pleasant interlude preparing for this great conference. And I look forward to relating with you again. Thank you very much. And goodbye.
Thank you, Yomi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So much. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning us in this week. Please join Dr. Yomi Garnett next Thursday for another edition of Dream the Life, Live the Dream, Thursdays at 7 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Find enlightenment this week, and we'll talk again in the next one.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.